It is time for, well, a portion of the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack this morning here on The Breakfast Club. Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm join us on a weekly basis. Treasure Quest Appraisal Group is where they're from, TQAG.com on the web. But Tim's in a plane, and Greg is with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
We ought to just change his name to Ed Plane in the middle of it.
Yeah, he's been in the air lately more than he's been on the ground.
Well, that's not a bad thing, actually. That means business is getting back to normal.
Yeah. Well, you know what's good about this is that we're seeing. Because of the, you know, the COVID restrictions and everything, we've been able to adapt, not just us, but just in general, the industry has been able to adapt so well that traveling, as long as you're vaccinated and, you know, your booster and all of that, it's just adding more business because we're still able to do the online stuff, the appraisals and things for people who are uncomfortable. And then there's still the traveling part just to go meet new clients. And so it's we're busy. There's no doubt we're bouncing back some. So that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It's the same thing around here where things are, everybody's getting out and involved. I will talk about the link you sent me about all those cars in that auction. But there's a couple of stories at my top. Whenever I see a story with the Andy Warhol's name, I go to it. Okay. And I guess there's a picture of Christie's is going to be auctioning off this picture with a $20 million estimate. It's a portrait of Jean-Michel Basquiat, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, that's coming up. I think that's coming up very soon, as a matter of fact. I saw the original release on that. It's the portrait that he did of Jean-Michel Basquiat, and I think it was done sometime in, I want to say it was done maybe in the 80s, no, 70s maybe. I don't remember reading. I have a hard time remembering some of all the stuff that I read. But yeah, that's it's coming up, I think, as soon, as a matter of fact. So I am actually not much of a fan of Basquiat's work. I mean, it's pretty spectacular, I understand, but it's just not my thing. But there's a mystique about him. There always has been. I think one of them is because he was so young. I can't imagine that it's going to not perform because they have it in, they're expecting it to bring like around 20 million or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see if his ascension, I guess is the word, that's happened over the past 10 or 15 years, see what happens. But his works continue to just break records. But I've never seen this particular piece come up for auction, so I'm not exactly sure how it's going to perform. It will be a bellwether.
Yeah.
To see, especially with Warhol, there again, he just continues to perform.
Well, you know, it's just,
what a shame that he has to, that he's dead, because why is it that,
you know, it's
like that old line from.
It's true, because multi generations, if you hear the name Andy Warhol, if you're anywhere, and I'll say from 25 and up, you'll know about Andy Warhol. By the way, that sale's coming up on November 11th. That's Christie's, November 11th. And yeah, they're $20 million is what they tagged the original estimate on. So we'll have to see what happens. But you just hear that, you know, well, for someone my age, you hear the name Peter Max, Andy Warhol, and visions come flying into my head.
Well, there was a point in time when the only thing that people knew about Andy Warhol was the Campbell soup can. And that's definitely not the way it is now. I mean, he and there again, it's because of the internet. I'm convinced of that, because when the soup can thing, it was such a big thing, and that's all people remembered him. A lot of people who were not in the know, as it were, just the general Joes, just familiar with that. Oh, they heard about this Campbell soup can and they saw the photograph and all of that. But, you know, when you really start to see what the vast amount of work that Andy Warhol did, a lot of it is still just coming to light. I mean, there's so many great portraits and great series that he did that, you know, when they come available, sometimes it's a whole new generation that sees something that really catches. And I have a feeling that this particular piece, because of Basquiat's where his stuff is right now, and just as an artist and his history, I think this is going to really do well, because there's a whole new generation of people who not only they might not collect, but they do follow, and they do. This might be, you know, if you can get a reproduction, because you can get reproductions of some of these things, and if you really can't afford $20 million, it might be the way to go.
All right. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm going to read this quote to you from an article that came from newsart.com. If you were looking for an escalation of the weirdness of the art market in 2021, look no further than Christie's marathon sale, Postwar to Present, which happened on Friday. The sale had an preset range of $19 million. The 200 lots went for $34.4 million.
Wow. It's like there's no ceiling. Well, there is no ceiling in auction, but I mean, it just seems as though with everything that's happened over the past year and a half, to have something like this happen with these results, it's just phenomenal for the industry. And I don't know. It seems as though there's a whole new slant on what's, you know, people were so afraid that this was going to be the death knell for auctions and online for art at auction, but it apparently not, because look, this, I mean, my God, $20 million or these two paintings that sold for the, or the sale that just brought that much money in. It's phenomenal. And I don't really see any end in sight for a while. And I'm just wondering if it's going to be like the housing market, where it's going to get up there, and then all of a sudden there's going to be like a plateau, and then all of a sudden it's going to take a dive. But we've noticed this increase over the past 15 years with what's happened with art, and we've talked about this so many times. It doesn't seem as though that's where it's going, though. It seems as though it's just continuing one record after another. And you know, some weird things have happened over the past 2 years with some of the art, what they consider the art to be now, with these what do they call them, NFTs, selling stuff that isn't really what people would consider to be real art. But when you have something like this sale coming up with this real piece of Andy Warhol, you know, it gives hope to people who don't understand the things that like these NFT auctions. And, you know, if it's we talked about this as well with Jill, I remember one time, where, you know, these auctions with Warhol and all of these things. Some of these things have not been seen, or some of, for a long time. Some of them have just been squirreled away. Some of them are just coming to light. And it seemed for a while like there was nothing on the horizon. And so my take on it is that somebody just decided, oh, well, let's just create these things called NFTs and let's just make it art. So it's going to be interesting, you know, the head-to-head competition between artists like Warhol and then the artists who are doing these digital things. And where is it going to go? So I honestly can't imagine any of these digital things selling for in excess of $20 million. I'm probably wrong, but I just can't see it. Well, I just can't see it. And then
it's interesting that you mentioned NFT because an art collector is suing the Nifty Gateway platform, which held an NFT auction. He failed to win a bid, but then he was billed for the bid. But you're right. I mean, they had a painting that sold for $1.2 million. That's a lot of money for digital. And I'm one of these people, Greg. I'm trying very hard to understand NFT. I mean, I'm just finally getting the basics of this coin market, but this NFT platform, I'm completely lost in the dark. Almost like it was back to geometry class.
Yeah. Well, you know, I still don't quite understand it. I'm like you. I'm kind of on the verge of understanding it. But there was an article that I read. It was I get the notices about auctions that have been done, like at Christie's and some of the other second level auction houses. And it's amazing. Now it's become its own category, and people seem to be interested, especially what's next after baby boomers, the Gen X, or you know, that group. They seem to be just fascinated by all of this digital stuff, and I just don't know. There was a thing that just sold an NFT collection, and it was created by this guy. I forget what his name was, but you can probably Google it. But one of his pieces sold for $1.2 million, an NFT. So, I mean, it's the possibility exists that someday you might see a Warhol and an NFT selling for the same amount.
All right. Now, before we end this, I'm going to go back to that Bonhams auction, and I would have purchased, if I did have money, I would go to these auctions. I would have put bids on the 1993 Rolls-Royce Corniche number 4. And it's actually $131,000 it sold for.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised that some of the cars didn't actually go for more. But it was even the ones that didn't perform like they were expected to were still amazing prices that were brought. And that particular grouping of cars, there were some absolutely just spectacular cars, and some of them in the condition. I think my favorite one, though, was still the 1952 Rolls-Royce, the touring limousine. It had a terrific provenance. I don't know if you read the provenance or not about it, but it was, they had everything right down to the last comma and period and dotted or crossing the T about who it belonged to and how it was maintained. It was fascinating to read. And I'm not much of a car person, but this particular sale and looking through this catalog, it was just spectacular.
Yeah, and we don't have a minute left, but my second favorite car was what appears to be a goldish pink 1961 Cadillac Eldorado Baris convertible.
Oh, yeah, that I saw that, and I thought of you because I know we've talked about classic Cadillacs in the past, but the I forget what it brought. But
72. It brought $72,000. $72,000.
And during, you know, keeping up with this sale, I learned a lot about, you know, like I wanted to find out where this auction, you know, what the history of this auction was. And it's really gained a lot of, and there again, it's because of the internet. A lot of people are following these things on the internet, these live auctions online. So this particular auction, I didn't actually see what the total for everything was, but it was like only, I think, 40, how many lots was it? I want to say something like 48 lots or something like that. Another one that was really, I thought was really cool was the, they had the 1962 Aston Martin, which was kind of cool. And that sold for like $307,000. And then there was the, which I still don't quite understand what this means, but it's the 1892 Brewster Park drag coach. Now, it sounds like an automobile, but it's actually a wagon. And it sold for $168,000.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, you just found the cars that those two I would have bid on because I think they're in a reasonable price range. Well, anyway, wish Tim happy travels for me, Greg, and we'll speak to you guys next week.
Okie doke. Have a terrific week.
Take care, Greg. Greg Strom and, of course, Tim Luke appraise this here on Robinhood Radio. You can find them at tqag.com on the web.